The Sobeys has them on for $2.99.
This week on Altoons, the Straitjackets are going to learn you your capital letters. The Burning Hell emerges from the garbage with a sneak peek at their new album. And while we're burning, Chris Gallant of the Devil's Punch Bowl stops by to serve up your soul. Is ready, PEI? Let's get her done! How's she going, Prince Edward Island? I am your host, Adam Michael James, and you are listening to the PEI Arts Award-nominated Isle Tunes for the week of February 23rd, 2025. Now, certainly there's lots of YouTube playlists and streaming services where you can hear music made on the island, but only here are you going to get info about the artists and their repertoire, plus a dash of island history, where to find your fave acts live, and interviews with songwriters of the province, all by way of saying, we realize you have a choice of sources for PEI music. Thank you for choosing Air Isle Tunes. And when you fly here, I give you chocolate and not dried out pretzels and stuff. Just saying. Also, one of the fun things about doing this podcast and researching stuff so I know what the hell I'm talking about when I give you that info about the artists and their repertoire is that I pick up knowledge along the way. And like your most trusted store, I pass on the savings, knowledge onto you. We're gonna go back to 1988 here with a band started by Scott and Troy McCullough and their cousin Jay Larson in Bedford, Nova Scotia. But AMJ, your shtick is that you only play stuff from PEI. Grasshopper, I did not forget my own mandate. This crazy trio was eventually joined by Islander Mark Barrett. I say crazy because the sides of their record, yes, record, were labeled Crazed 1 and Crazed 2. Makes sense since this punk-ish album was called Are You Crazy? Why, yes, I am, and this part of the show is sponsored by the letter I. Not for nothing, they did a little borrowing off of Sesame Street for this one. The Straitjackets bring the 80s back for this most capital of jams, capital I, which just happens to also be the first letter of Isle Tunes. odd for a hard rock alternative group who took their name from the side of a trunk. True story. That's Magnolia on iTunes with last year's single, This Emotion. And I have been given the authority to tell y'all that the combo of Dennis Dwarren, Yannick Gagnon, Isaac Williams, and Zach Bernard are going to be rocking out this coming Saturday, March 1st at Baba's Lounge. Maybe if you're lucky, they'll debut some of their new material in their set too, since I also happen to know that, like magnolias that bloom in the spring, these dudes will have fresh musical flowers for you to pick in the not outrageously distant future. Smells good. PEI's francophone trad triad Vichten had nearly two decades under their belt when member Pascal Leblanc was felled by breast cancer in 2022. Rather than hang up their instruments, remaining members Pascal Muse and Emmanuel Leblanc took partial and unfinished works created by Pastel and reinvented the group as Vichten Connexion, building on Pastel's compositions and bringing in collaborators from across the island's musical spectrum, including Catherine McClellan and Rowan Gallant and Jesse Perriard from Ten String and a goatskin. Last year, Vichten Connexion released the album Expansion. Emmanuel and Pascal have found healing in breathing life into Pastel's ideas, and there's so many of them, try over 100, that they're already looking ahead to a follow-up album. And why not, since Expansion is up for no less than 6 Music PEI Awards next week. Here with a collaboration with Julie Pellissier-Lush of the Mi'kmaq Heritage Actors is Vichten Connexion with Teliach, which means it's true. And it's true, you're hearing it on iTunes.
Open your wings and fly to the Creator. It is your time to heal. We are remembering you and who you were. Open your wings and fly to the Creator. It is your time to fly. Oh,
Altunes brings you Visten Conexion featuring Julie Pellissier-Lush with Teliach from last spring's Expansion album. A happy belated birthday to Julie, who marked a new turn around the sun just this past Friday. Uliagi Puna, Julie! Coming up, Brib brings you into her twisted paradise. Chasing Away a Gallant and the Devil's Punch Bowl's frontman talks gothic folk and being a person of color in island punk and metal bands. We're usually so preoccupied with what's going on in our present that, you know, we don't really give much thought to what went before. Not unless it went before in our own lives, of course. But Prince Edward Island is a province just chock full of went-befores, and thanks to the bounty that is islandnewspapers.com, I can bring you some of them in This Week in PEI History. February 26, 1880. Among the many adverts adorning the cover of the Daily Examiner was an announcement that a Professor Anderson would be giving a lecture at St. Patrick's Hall, focusing on Shakespeare's Hamlet the following Friday, March 5th. Doors were to open at 7 and chairs to be taken at 8. You'd only have to part with a dime for the whole thing, though in 2025 money that's $3.25. Such a deal! February 26, 1945. The Charlottetown Guardian reported that Flight Lieutenant J. Alban MacDonald had returned home to Summerside after fighting the Nazis overseas for 2.5 years. His visit came on the heels of his having been awarded the Flying Cross the previous October for completing 30 operational flights, one of which saw his plane so badly damaged by enemy aircraft he had to land at an emergency base, but he was able to land safely and without incident. February 28, 1921, the Charlottetown Guardian told hockey fans that the Rangers of Charlottetown had defeated the New Glasgow Rovers 5-4, and that, after being down 2 goals in the second period, they had rallied back, as the paper said, like giants refreshed with OXO tablets, that's beef bouillon cubes for those not in the know. Just another matchup on the ice? Not hardly. The victory meant that the Rangers had won the Colored Championship of the Maritime Provinces. That's right, the black team had started as the West End Rangers in 1900. Even the paper noted that their fame had preceded them for some 20 years. Now that's how you celebrate Black History Month.
Hey, it's Eric Broadbent in the Isletunes studio, and you're listening to Isletunes.
Raise up your boots, red dog. Raise up your boots, red dog.
Running with a little theme song action, that's Adam Robbins on iTunes with his Red Rock Wrestling theme, which he released in 2022. That's the anthem done up for Montague's professional and family-friendly Red Rock Wrestling Company. Adam's involvement in the theme shouldn't be a surprise, since he's known for combining rap and wrestling on his albums. Plus, his brother is a professional wrestler, so you can see how all this comes together. Adam is a composer on top of being a rapper, and it was the wordplay of the Wu-Tang Clan that got Adam's attention and influenced his style. We're going to hear more of that style soon, as Adam has promised new material. You know that I will let y'all know when the bell rings on that. Just practicing. You might call them Hades with an attitude. See what I did there? Which one's fire and which one's brimstone? I don't know, but the duo of Matthias Kamm and Ariel Sharat got together in 2007 to form The Burning Hell, and they've been lighting it up ever since with a legion of minions, collaborators, weaving in and out of their musical lives. Now based out of the rural woods of PEI, these genre shifters are this close to releasing their new album, Ghost Palace, on March 7th, following up on their previous work of 2022, Garbage Island. The new record is sure to be filled with the literary, historical, and pop culture references the band is known for, and this first single reminds me a bit of that Roger Waters album Radio Chaos. If you know, you know. Tune your transistors into Luna FM, the latest from The Burning Hell on iTunes.
Hey, we'll keep fanning a peacock up here, and you guys keep talking. Okay, fine. Charlie, it might sound corny, but the view is really out of this world.
Honestly, it's a space oddity. listening to Room FM with the sound of the moon. Bring me a wizard and its magic balloon. You're listening to Room FM with the sound of the moon. Like giving a telephone to a baboon. You're listening to Room FM with the sound of the moon. It's that hour I remember in the cartoons. You're listening to Room FM with the sound of the moon.
To us about her Twisted Paradise on AllTunes. Actually, the full title is Twisted Paradise, Spineless, Two-Faced Hypocrite. I love a parenthetical. It's one of several 2022 releases from the Holland College School of Performing Arts graduate, and while the soft, airy style she's known for is consistent through her work, this offering is less chiptune like some of her other tracks and more, well, her influences are Melanie Martinez, Lana Del Rey, and Taylor Swift, and I think you can hear a bit of all of them here. Love Gone Wrong sucks, but it sure does generate a lot of great songs. It's not unusual here on PEI for musical talent to run in families, especially when you get into the fiddling world of the island. Raised in O'Leary, Colleen McNally is one of those generational players. She started with 2 years of classical violin studies at age 9, and by age 11 she had joined Kaylee Bray, the outfit started by her father, Gerald McNally. The father-daughter duo went on to host local TV show Kaylee in the Bray. In 2002, Colleen made her solo debut with her CD Tune Up, a reference to not only what happens with fiddles before performing, but her 66 Mustang, which she posed with on the cover. Going with a traditional fiddle tune, this is Colleen McNally's rendition of the Green Meadow Reel on Isletunes. McNally making y'all wish for the island's legendary Green Meadows with Green Meadow Reel from her 2002 album Tune Up on Isletunes. Don't worry, winter haters, those Green Meadows will be back soon enough. Still to come, the money go round way backs it to 1971. Boy from Tignish makes good in Nashville, and learning the secret ingredient of the libation inside the Devil's Punch Bowl. Not only do we have some killer acts braving the late winter snow and ice to put on damn good shows for you guys, but Music PEI Week is almost here, which means a slew of kick-ass concerts happening in support of that. Want to know the who and where, though I'll let you figure out the why? Groove on Gigs to Dig across Prince Edward Island. Wednesday, February 26th, it's Al Tuck and Scott Parsons at the Trailside Music Hall. The next night at the Trailside, Thursday, February 27th, it's Hello Mischief and Jazz Avenue. Friday, February 28th, at the Trailside, the Royal North will be performing. Saturday, March 1st, Magnolia with Mind Gaze there at Baba's Lounge. And also on March 1st, Vishten Connexion as part of Rendezvous Mardi Gras is at the Mac. Looking into next week, March 7th, Sam O, Dance Thing, and Notica Bob are at Baba's Lounge. Also next week, well, it's Music PEI week, and so there's a ton of concerts happening. Let me get into them for you, and you guys take notes. March 4th, Grooves at the Guild with Richard Wood, LaFunk, Betty Gizmo, and Pearly Gates. They are at the Guild. March 5th, Out Loud Sessions with Daisy, Carly Howell, Noah Malcolm, Joss Rayom, and In Echo. They are at the Guild. March 5th also has Down East Stinger with Shane Pendergast, Whitney Rose, Dennis Ellsworth, and Enomba, Pila Esebe at King's Playhouse in Georgetown. March 6th, it's the SoCan Songwriter of the Year concert with Dylan Menzies, Gizmo, Lawrence Maxwell, Noah Malcolm, and Whitney Rose. They're at the Scott McCauley Performing Arts Center in Summerside. Also happening March 6th, it's Rhythm and Flow Case with D-Mix, Norm Strangely, Right Flow, Brayden V, and Cavi at Craft Beer Corner in Charlottetown. March 7th, All Ages Amplified with 20 Eyes, Oak Drive, Space Bud, Heather, and Absolute Losers. They are all at the Beaconsfield Carriage House in Charlottetown. March 7th also sees Music Mosaic with Todd McLean, Louisa Guiza, Tiffany Leo, Hikado, and Vishten Connection at the Trailside. And finally, March 8th, it's the big one, Music PEI Awards Gala with Vishten Connection, Dylan Menzies, Hikado, and Lawrence Maxwell, of course, at the Confed Center. And don't forget, Baba's Lounge holds an open mic night every Wednesday at 9 p.m., hosted by the one and only Hinley.
Hi, I'm Tamara.
Hi, I'm Loic.
And we're from the Umbrella Collective. And you're listening to Isle Tunes with Adam Michael James.
Ahead of me, I had no idea what I wanted to be. Youthfulness felt endless, that was so naive. The hard way is a shitty way to learn. Looking in from where I am, the stupid phone glued to my hand, and I see the world. Everyone just floats along, and back then I had a place to dream. We had tails and some with teeth, we're back to back on one cassette until I wore it out. These things got me here. So you know, I wish we could turn back around. I was somewhere else, looking through the keyhole in my daydream head, warbling like a tape deck, chewing my cassettes. I've gotta fix it with the end of my pen. My favorite one ahead in that car was Neil Young Live at Massey Hall, 1971. Bootleg dub I traded for a cowgirl in the sand was cut. I had to flip the tape to hear it all, and I miss those stupid things that piss me off. These days are different now, and you know I wish we could turn back around. Oh, sometimes I.
One of the many side projects of the prolific Dennis Ellsworth, between his solo and group work and his many recordings, he's like the island's prince. In this case, the side project is the Money Go Round, and the song is 1971 bootleg dub from their 2022 record, Cruisin' and Swingin' with the Money Go Round. Those interested in origin stories will be giddy to know that the name comes from a 1970 Kinks track about the trials and misfortunes of the music industry. With Sam and Josh Langel, Katie McGarry, and Dan Curry at his side, Dennis and the Go-Rounders infuse a bit of that 60s pop into their stuff, as well as letting psychedelic, folk, and rock roll around together. The album is described as vignettes of life and love and faded dreams gone by, and we've all had a few of those, am I right? It's one thing for an island act to blow up on PEI, but it's less frequent that a provincial recording artist blows up outside of this province, much less outside of this country. But that's what Ben Gallant did. Don't recognize the name? Stay with me. Ben hails from the Tignish Palmer Road area and already came with his own musical pedigree, being the nephew of island country queen Peggy Clinton and the son of Alfie Perry of Shiloh. At 13, Ben entered a PEI Mutual talent competition where he moved on to the finals and won. After he released a debut album in 2016, he relocated to Alberta the following year, and he now lives in Nashville as a legit country star. Not letting that status go to his head, he remembered his PEI roots in his cut Saltwater Cowboy. Oh, and the recognition? He now goes not by Ben Gallant, but Ben Chase. Talk about blowing up. From 2019, this is Ben's single, Already Winning, on Isletunes.
I was lonely till you came around and filled that empty seat on my couch. Looking around at all your things, what a beautiful mess you made. This what real life fortune brings. I hope it never fades. Like I'm the king and you're the queen. Would you wear my diamond ring? That's what I think we could be. Take my hand, you're all I need. I've been missing out, I got no doubt. Just looking at you right now. Love is a game I don't wanna lose. And I'm already winning, already winning with you. You got a way of putting me at ease, even on my worst day. I finally feel like I can breathe, baby, come what may. It's like I'm the king and you're the queen. Would you wear my diamond ring? That's what I think we could be. Take my hand, you're all I need. I've been missing out, I got no doubt. Just looking at you right now. Love is a game I don't wanna lose. And I'm already winning, oh. Some crazy dream I'm thinking. You and me ain't just a fantasy. This ain't just some crazy dream. I know that you and me were always meant to be. It's like I'm the king and you're the queen. Would you wear my diamond ring? That's what I think we could be. Take my hand, you're all I need. It's like I'm the king and you're the queen. Would you wear my diamond ring? That's what I think we could be. Take my hand, you're all I need. I've been missing out, I got no doubts. Just looking at you right now. Love is a game I don't wanna lose. And I'm already winning, I'm already winning with you. Already winning, already winning with you. I'm already winning with you.
When you're Ben Chase, you're already winning, at least according to Isletunes. A little bit of PEI in Nashville, and Nashville in PEI. Are y'all thirsty? Maybe you might be quenched by a serving from the Devil's Punch Bowl. They are what can be termed a gothic folk group headed up by singer and founder Chris Gallant. This devilish dude brings experience from his tours in metal and punk bands to this unusual combo, which incorporates banjo and harp into its grit. And also not typical is the fact that one usually doesn't find a fellow who's part black fronting any of these genres. You thought I forgot it's still Black History Month? Not even. Sitting down for the Isle Tunes microphones is Chris Gallant of the Devil's Punch Bowl. Drink deeply, my fiends.
Now, this island is no stranger to folk music, to be sure, but more of it than not is more your standard folk fare. And while that's awesome, a PEI band does exist that flips that genre on its ass and goes dark. I mean, dark, dark. Are they entertaining? I can legitimately say I've been to one of their shows, and I know that they know how to show audiences a hell of a good time. So here in the Altoons Studios, otherwise known as my basement, talk about dark, is Chris Gallant of the gothic folk group The Devil's Punch Bowl. Welcome, Chris, to the netherworld of my house anyway.
Thanks for having me, man.
I appreciate it. I'm glad to have you here. So let's start by having you tell us a little bit about yourself. With a name like Gallant, you must be from the island, unlike me, a total CFA. When did you realize you had an interest in music, and what led you to its darker undertones?
I'm actually from St. John, Brunswick.
Okay.
My mom's from here. So when my parents got married, I just kept the last name.
Nice.
My grandfather was a musician. My dad and his brothers were also musicians. So I kind of grew up around it, but I was very much like into the skate scene when I was growing up, and then kind of started going to punk and hardcore shows when I was like 8, 9 years old.
Wow. That's yellow.
Yeah. It was pretty good scene for it over there. So then I, just kind of got into learning how to play drums because I heard this kid drumming on the street, and I knocked on his door and asked his mom if I could watch him play drums.
Nice.
So I ended up watching him drum, and then he started taking me to his shows and seeing local shows, and then moved to PEI, and I lived up west, like rural country, and then I couldn't skate that much, so I just taught myself how to play guitar.
Yeah, so I understand that before Devil's Punch Bowl, you jammed in punk and metal bands. Tell us about those and how being in them influenced your musical journey.
I guess like kind of starting out, it was the easiest way to get into music because I wasn't like a technical musician or the best like singer or anything like that. So I just like, and I was more drawn towards punk and hardcore because my dad was like a metalhead growing up. So I just kind of started with that when I moved to Charlottetown and met a few dudes who played some music at a local show that I was at. And then we kind of just talked more and formed a band from there. That was like 2015, 16. And then from there, kind of just progress. And I've been playing with those same few dudes in the hardcore bands that I've been in for the last few years. But I took a small hiatus while I was like living in Toronto. I didn't play any music and just learned how to cut hair. Then came back here and started singing for Baited when they were at the beginning of their career. I started Devil's Punch Bowl, I think, just before them. And then I started singing for Baited, and I was singing for a band called Kintsugi before that. Or no, I was drumming for Kintsugi, and then singing for weird little, you know, proggy metal bands here and there. But yeah, it ultimately just ended up me singing for Baited after I started the Devil's Punch Bowl, and then getting more of that folk side from the hardcore music.
Right. So yeah, so you started the Devil's Punch Bowl, and who was in the band besides yourself? And how did y'all end up getting together in the formation that you have?
There's kind of been like a long running little members who have been in and out, but the three core members, I guess, are like me and Beattie and Chris Kuplin, who Beattie plays the harp and Chris Kuplin plays stand up bass. And then we had a few members, like our buddy Jake plays guitar for us, but he lives in Halifax. So it's mainly just the three of us kind of doing what we can around and writing and stuff. Well, you know, we kind of keep Jake up to speed, and if he can tour with us and play the shows with us, then that's great. But Beattie, I had met years ago, just I think at a hardcore show. So I have a hardcore show at Bubba's. And then she started playing the harp, well, has been playing the harp, I guess. And we were just jamming together like indie songs, acoustic and harp stuff. And then she was working at Nimrod's with CC. And he's been playing piano and bass and bands like Love Junkies and Feelings and all that. Like he's been around the block for a while. So it was just like a perfect fit, but that was like a month into the band. So he's pretty much been in the band since the beginning.
So I'm curious, always curious where people get names for their bands or their pseudonyms. So where did you guys get your name?
There's a trail in summer, so I grew up by summer, so I called the Devil's Punch Bowl. Someone that I know one day was like, oh, the Devil's Punch Bowl would be a good band name. And I was like, yeah, it would be. And this was long before I even started the band. And then when I started it, I was like, oh, it's kind of suiting for the style of music.
As I mentioned before, the music you guys make has been described as gothic folk. Would you say that's accurate? And how did you arrive at the sound? And did your experience in metal and punk influence the direction?
I heard a dude named Amigo the Devil, and he was kind of like the eye-opening sound of being like, damn, like that dark folk music is really sweet. And I discovered so much more artists from it. But I always knew about like the folk punk genre, like Days and Days and all those dudes who were doing like that classic, like upbeat punk chords with no like distortion and straight. And that kind of shifted me towards like the gothic side of the dark folk. I'd say it's pretty accurate. We're all from different backgrounds, so. Like BD's from like the Celtic, you know, tribe music scene and CC's into like the instrumental jazz stuff. And it all just kind of adds elements of it. And then we're planning on putting out two more singles in the next 2 months. Our sound changes for like every song. So,
but that's cool.
Yeah. So I got like, I have a problem with keep writing. So we have like 8 songs that were pretty much set in stone. And then I like made another one like last night. We're trying to do a 2 EPs, so one with all originals and one with like covers and like homages to traditional folk music, because I feel like a lot of people wouldn't assume that. Like, I love traditional folk music, like Ole Bell Reed, and like I listen to a lot of Sham Shackleton and Clifton Hicks, like old traditional Appalachian banjo music and stuff. So we're gonna do some of that and other fun covers and stuff.
Now, shifting gears a little bit, another thing that's not exactly typical on the island and in music in general is having a person of color being the front man for a gothic folk band or gothic group in general, not to mention punk or metal. And while I might view that as groundbreaking, do you see it that way at all? Or was it just a natural fit for you that it never crossed your mind that it might do that?
I guess sometimes, because like growing up in St. John, I wasn't exposed to much like other like color kids or hanging out with other folks like that. And like my dad, who is like part black, grew up in the hardcore scene, and he was one of the only ones, right? So when I moved here and like I didn't think it was anything strange, because I was like, oh, I just got to play the music I want.
So. Yeah, I'm not trying to like make other people see things a certain way or make them accept anything that, you know, I'm just who I am.
Exactly. You're just speaking through the music.
Yeah. And I haven't really like encountered much like frontmen who are of color. A couple in Halifax maybe. But yeah, for the most part, man, I'm the only fish in the sea.
If I might ask, what has your experience been being a person of color in the island music scene and on the island itself? Like, do you find PEI to be relatively inclusive? And if you feel it isn't as much as it could be, what do you think we could be doing here to make it better?
Yeah, I do. I feel like it's fine. I've never like caught any slack. I obviously feel like the music scene is kind of like divided here in a sense of like a lot of the color musicians like have their scene, and it seems like, you know, the hardcore scene has its place, the indie scene has its place, and they never really intertwine or
meshed. Right.
So that's kind of like brutal to see, because it can make like some color musicians who want to branch out, play at other people's shows, scared to ask or whatever, because they don't want to mix genres, or they're scared their crowd won't accept them, or, you know, their crowd won't accept us. But it's pretty inclusive, man. Like, PEI is a good spot for that in every way.
Now, back to the music. You had mentioned the tour that you guys were doing. That, where are you going? Besides, is it just going to be Halifax? Is it in support of the album? And will there ultimately be PEI stops involved with that tour?
We're going on tour with Daigle Abortions and Dirt Nap, both from BC, in April. And that's cross Canada.
Oh, wow.
We're starting in Victoria and making our way all the way back. So May 23rd, we play PEI.
Now, while I usually do the DJing around here, because that's what I do, I'm going to turn that duty over to you for this part of the show. What from the repertoire of Devil's Punch Bowl would you like Islanders to hear? And then if you would, talk to us about the song you're picking and what went into it. What should I play?
I guess All Souls Blues. It's a real different sound compared to like the first album and then this, because like the recording quality is kind of like different, though there's a lot more sound difference. And also, I quit playing guitar and like April and started playing banjo only. So it's the only song that we have out that has banjo and guitar.
So we're going to do that. We're going to play All Souls Blues. It is so thirst-quenching taking a drink from the Devil's Punch Bowl. Chris, I want to thank you for coming over here and for talking about all this. And I'm looking forward to hearing more from you guys in the not terribly distant future.
Yeah.
All the singles coming out and EPs and albums and y'all got it going on.
Yeah, it should be fun. We're pretty excited. Like, just writing songs about random things and life events. Like, All Souls Blues is just all about life that we've been through, like, 4 years ago.
Oh,
in All Souls Lane, like, while we were living there.
Okay, now we're going to get gothic with our folk here with the Devil's Punch Bowl and All Souls Blues here on iTunes.
The Devil's Punch Bowl serving up their latest single, All Souls Blues, right here on iTunes. They've got more shows and more music coming, so we'll keep the Hell Hotline open for you and let you know when those rise up from the depths. That's going to finish off this episode and February, but not before I take a moment and thank Michael Elliott for subscribing to the iTunes YouTube channel. Doing so helps with algorithms and all that, so if that's the platform on which you happen to be listening, do a clicky to the old subscribe button and give the channel a boost. If you're in a subscribing mood overall, head over to patreon.com/iTunes and subscribe there, which will give you exclusive access to long-form video interviews and see nowhere else clips of live performance. The meager $5 a month ask goes toward the funding of this podcast, as do any donations made through PayPal, link in the description. Another way to help me pay for this ish is to snag some swag. There are iTunes t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, and more waiting for you at iTunes.creator-spring.com. If you've got comments or suggestions, hit me with them at 902-807-4250 or amj@iltunes.ca. There's also social media, you know, Facebook and Instagram, where I also post links to where you can buy the music you hear on the show and support the artists, which is kind of what the show is all about. And if you're of a mind to send over recordings of yourself saying island catchphrases like Justin Dwaran did at the top of this episode, the above contact methods apply. Musical contribution to the Isle Tunes theme by Kaylin McCauley and John Hashem. Show concept by Rocky O'Neill. Coordination assistance by Jackie Robichaud. I'm Adam Michael James, and it is my Isle Tunes duty to alert you that there will be no new episode next Sunday. That's because new episodes will be going up on Fridays starting March 7th. That effectively means a break for the show, but Isle Tunes will be roaring back a week from Friday with a look at the 2025 Music PI Awards nominees and, of course, their music, because, duh, isn't that why we're here? New upload day, same kick-ass island-only content for you to tell your friends, family, co-workers, acquaintances, and frenemies about. Do put that word-of-mouth power to good use, would you? In the meantime, keep up those protests against the U.S. trying to annex us and all that crap, and don't let their current brand of growing fascism happen here. Y'all have the power to prevent that. And that's because, ultimately, freedom and democracy are stronger than fear and tyranny. You know it. Thanks for listening, PEI. See you in March 7, that is.